Good morning. My name is Alan Reed. I've been given the pleasant job of welcoming you to a new series of programs. Programs designed to appeal to the young in heart. The young in heart. Well, that includes just about everyone, doesn't it? Those who can look back on many wonderful experiences and adventures, and those who are eagerly looking forward to them. So to you, the young in heart, we offer this series for your listening pleasure. Today, I'd like to tell you a story that was written by Robert Louis Stevenson, a man who spent most of his life in a wheelchair, a frail man, in poor health most of the time. Yet it's possible, at least I think so, that this very fact was the reason he was able to write so many exciting adventure stories. Sitting in that wheelchair, he dreamed of the sea, led great armies into battles, fought duels with swords and cutlasses. He made adventure come to life in his imagination for you and me. I want to tell you about one of his greatest stories this morning. He called it Treasure Island. If ever a young boy had adventure, real adventure, that boy was Master Jim Hawkins. Now, Jim was a fine young lad, hardworking, studious, but like so many of us, he loved adventure. So he was all ears and full of curiosity as he performed his duties around his mother's inn, the Admiral Benbow, it was called. One day, a strange new lodger arrived. Jim learned that his name was Billy Bones. And it was from Billy Bones that Jim eventually obtained the map of the island. Oh, but wait a minute. I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's start from the beginning. It is late one afternoon. It's the early 18th century. Squire Trelawney has given Jim a note to take to John Silver, an old sailor who lives at the Spyglass Inn on the coast of England. Jim enters the inn, and inquiring for Silver, is ushered upstairs and told to knock on the door.
Aye!
Begging your pardon, sir.
Aye, what's wanted with... Shiver me timbers! A boy!
Yes, sir. Are you John Silver?
Such be my name, boy. Long John Silver. Who may you be?
I have a note from Squire Trelawney.
Have you now? Well, give it to me. Come over here, my lad. Don't be afraid.
Are you ill, sir?
Ill? No, no. Just lie to bed for a bit of a rest. Tuck the covers around me, boy. Blasted chilly these days. Yeah. Now let's see the squire's note. Well, so you're Master Jim Hawkins, eh?
Yes, sir.
Going to be our new cabin boy, are you? Pleased I am to see you.
Thank you, sir.
So you want to put to sea, do you? Hunt for buried treasure.
Treasure? Why? I don't understand what you mean, sir.
Come now, my lad. The squire's told me all about you. Your mother keeps the Admiral Benbow in, does she not?
Well, yes, sir.
Yeah. Had a bit of excitement there, I'm told.
A bit, sir.
What happened? Tell me about it.
Well, sir, I was upstairs preparing the rooms for the night, when suddenly I heard sounds of a terrible fight downstairs. I ran to the head of the stairs, but I was afraid to go down. Then I heard Billy Bone's voice.
So it's a map you want, is it? You'll have to get it over my desk, buddy.
There was a flash of swords, and Billy Bones let out a horrible scream. I came downstairs as fast as I could, just in time to see the man throw open the door and leave. There was Billy Bones lying on the floor, a cutlass in his chest. I went over to him. Billy Bones, are you hurt bad, sir?
The chest, Jim.
Hi, sir.
The map in the chest. Beware, Jim. Beware, seafaring man with one leg.
A seafaring man?
With one leg. Beware him. Most of all.
A seafaring man with one leg.
Aye, and when you see him, run. Run for your life.
And then the good Billy Bones died, I suppose.
Oh, yes, sir. He died right enough.
The chest. What chest did he mean, boy?
The chest in his room, sir. That's where I found the map.
The what?
Nothing, sir. If you've read the note, sir, I'll be returning to the squire with your answer.
My answer? Aye. Tell the squire and the good Dr. Livesey that the crew for the Hispaniola will be ready to sail by the end of August. Or my name's not John Silver.
Aye, sir. Good day.
Good day, lad. Fifteen men on a dead man's chest. Yo ho ho, and a bottle of rum. Drinking the devil had done for the rest. Yo ho ho, and a bottle of rum.
Pardon, sir. I forgot. Oh!
Well, then, what's your trouble? You act like you've seen a ghost. It's still me, Long John Silver. I've only got out of bed.
Aye, sir. Your leg.
My leg?
You. You're the man with one leg.
Me? Nonsense, lad. One leg I have, to be sure, but I'm just an old sailor. Lost me leg to a whale back in, let me see, 68 it was.
You didn't know Captain Billy Bones?
Billy Bones? I heard tell of him. A pirate, wasn't he? Sailed under the Jolly Roger with Captain Flint, Ben Gunn, Red Ruth, Dick, and George Merry.
You know them?
No, lad, just heard tell of them. Oh, don't be afraid of me, lad. I won't hurt you. Why, I wouldn't hurt a fly.
Oh, no wonder Jim was a little wary of John Silver. After all, he was a seafaring man. And he did have one leg. And that laugh. But Jim overcame his fear. And come the end of August, the good ship Hispaniola set sail for Treasure Island. Long John didn't seem to have many friends among the crew. But he had a pet. It was a parrot, and the parrot had one phrase that it kept repeating over and over and over again.
Fisherman, 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 fisherman.
Shut your blithering mouth.
Mr. Silver, sir.
Aye, Jimmy, lad.
What's the parrot saying?
Who, Captain Kidd? Why, he's predicting success to our voyage. Am I right, Captain?
Fisherman.
I call him Captain Kidd after the famous buccaneer. And a rare old bird he is, over 200 years old. He sailed the seven seas, Madagascar, Malabar, Suriname, Providence, and Portobello. It's there he learned to say pieces of eight. And little wonder,
350,000 of them, Hawkins. Aye, there was treasure to be had in those days. You better not be standing here, Gavin. It's time for the squire's tea. There's a tray for him and the captain. Avast with you now.
Aye, aye, sir.
Captain Smiley, do you know what I think? Well, his master, Jim, he should have something to say about this. If it wasn't for him finding the map, we wouldn't be here. Jim, Captain Smollett wants to call the voyage off and turn back.
Turn back, sir?
Aye.
He's afraid of mutiny.
Mutiny?
From the crew, Jim. Most particularly from John Silver.
Oh. Oh, well, sir, I will admit I was afraid of him to begin with, especially after what Billy Bone said about a seafaring man with one leg. But now that I've come to know Long John, why, he seems quite harmless, sir.
There! What did I tell you?
Very well, it's on your heads. But mind you, when we land...
Land ho! Land ho!
Oh, land! By heaven, so it is! Look out there, gentlemen, there she lies! I've brought you to Treasure Island. Now the rest is up to you.
Little did young Hawkins know how wrong he was about John Silver. But he wasn't long in finding out. The ship lay off the coast of Treasure Island. Night had fallen. And like most young boys, Master Jim was hungry. So he left his cabin and made his way down to the forecastle, to the apple barrel. Just as he was reaching into the barrel, he heard voices.
I'm leader here. You speak soft and you keep sober till I give the word. Then you'll have your fun. We'll string them from the highest yard arm. We'll clap them into irons and make the good Captain Smollett steer the course where we say. Fetch me an apple, Dick. There's a barrel full of them right outside. Avast, who's there? Wait, mates, let him go. Here, someone was eavesdropping. I'll find out who it was and wring his neck with me bare hands.
Squire Trelawney? Squire Trelawney, sir?
Yes? Come in, Master Jim.
Squire, Captain Smollett, you were right. The men, they're going to mutiny.
Jim, are you certain?
I heard them, sir, just now. I was in the apple barrel.
My apologies, Captain Smollett. You're in charge. What shall we do?
I'm not unprepared for this. Tomorrow, we'll go ashore. We'll build a stockade on the beach of the island, transfer the guns and powder. Then, if they take this ship, they'll be helpless with it. They can't sail her. And we'll defend the island and the treasure to the last man.
That sounds like a good plan, Captain.
Aha, aye. Lucky for us. Master Jim found them out. Now they won't take us by surprise.
The next morning, all hands went ashore. Jim tried to stay close to the crew, but as they plunged into the woods further and further on the island, he became detached from the mutinous pirates, and soon he was hopelessly lost. As he stumbled through the dense growth of the forest, suddenly he was nearly scared out of his wits by the appearance of a giant black man. Jim stopped in his tracks. Rooted to the ground by fear, he waited as the man came closer. Then, only a few feet away, the big man dropped to his knees and held out his arms in supplication.
Help! Help!
Jim conquered his fear and walked up to him. Then he saw that the man was white, but his skin, wherever exposed, was burned by the sun. Even his lips were black. Finally, Jim got up the courage to speak.
Who are you?
I'm Ben Gunn. I'm poor Ben Gunn, I am. And I haven't spoke with a man these 3 years.
3 years? Were you shipwrecked?
No, lad.
maroon.
Marooned. In halting, stammering phrases, Ben Gunn told his story. 3 years by Captain Flint, Billy Bones, and Long John Silver. Suddenly, shots rang out. The mutiny was on. Ben Gunn and Jim dragged themselves to a little clearing and looked out through the trees toward the ship anchored offshore. There it was, flying from the mast, the pirate's flag, the Jolly Roger, the skull and crossbones.
Well, Captain, this is it.
Aye, but we're safe here in the stockade. Let them try to take it. I'm worried about young Jim Hawkins, though. He's with the pirates.
Oh, Jim's a smart lad. He'll find his way back to us.
Wait a moment. Who's that coming through the clearing? By the powers, it's John Silver himself. Stand where you are, Silver, or we fire.
Oh, no, Captain, wait. He's carrying a white flag. It's the flag of truce. He wants to surrender.
Surrender? 10-1 is a trick. What do you want with your flag of truce, Silver?
Captain Silver, sir. Come to offer terms.
Oh, so it's Captain Silver now, is it? All right. Come forward slowly. Hold your fire, men. Now, boost yourself over the wall.
Give me a hand, will you? It's odd for a man with one leg. Come on, give me a hand.
Keep down, Squire. He can manage himself. Now, Silver, what is it you want?
We come to offer terms. Your lives for the treasure.
What?
First, you have a map of the island with the treasure plainly marked. We want it. Second, we take the treasure aboard. Third, you set the course we give you. Agree and you have me word of honor. We'll set you somewhere safely ashore. We'll divide stores with you, man for man. Now, you alone, that's a fair proposition and a handsomer offer you'll ever get.
Is that all?
Every last word, by thunder. Refuse it and you've seen the last of me but musket balls.
Very good. Now hear me out. If you and your men will come up one by one unarmed, I'll engage to clap you in irons and take you home for a fair trial in England. If not, I'll see you all in Davy Jones. Full of lead.
Is that your last word?
Hey. Now tramp. Bundle out of here, hand over hand. Go back and tell your pirates what I've said.
Give me a boost up.
Don't touch him, men.
Give me a boost up. Oh, give a man with one leg a hand over the wall. Well, then, before the hour's out, I'll stove through your old stockade like a rum puncheon.
Oh, it's a sight one leg makes going over a wall.
Go on, laugh! Laugh, by thunder, laugh! But before I'm through, you laugh on the other side, and them that dies will be the lucky ones.
Having refused Silver's terms of surrender, the battle between the ship's officers and the pirates rages on. Each side had many wounded. Off in a little thicket, Jim Hawkins and Ben Gunn watched the proceedings with great interest.
Jim, my lad, are you telling me the truth?
Aye, Ben, as the Lord is my witness.
That ain't Captain Flint's ship?
No, Ben. Captain Flint is dead, but we have some of his hands aboard. They're the mutineers.
A man with one leg?
Aye, Silver.
Silver! If Long John finds me, I'm as good as pork.
Ben.
Aye, lad.
I have a plan.
Aye.
Even if the pirates kill the officers and find the treasure, they can't move it off the island without a ship. There's no one on board the ship now. I'll swim out to her, cut the anchor, and let her drift around the bend out of sight.
Aye, lad. What then?
You make for the stockade. Tell Captain Smollett and the squire what I've done. Tomorrow morning when Silver finds the ship gone, he may surrender.
That's a good scheme, Jim. If it works, we'll be able to round up the party and set sail for home.
Aye.
Home. Do you think they'll take me with them?
Of course they will, Ben. Now wait till the firing dies down a bit, then try for the stockade. Wish me luck, Ben.
I do. But, Jim, there's something else I have to tell you.
Shh. Listen. They've stopped firing. Now's our chance, Ben.
But, Jim, I got...
The stockade, Ben. The stockade. I'll make a run for the sea.
With incredible good luck, Jim Hawkins fought the tide and swam out to the ship. He cut the anchor and, exactly according to plan, the ship drifted slowly round the bend and out of sight. Then he swam back to the island. His idea was to reach the stockade where he'd be safe. But the night was dark and he became confused. In the half-darkness, he saw a group of men sleeping. Were they the officers or... He stumbled against a branch and then...
Fisherman! Fisherman! Fisherman!
He found that he'd blundered into the pirate camp by mistake.
Avast, you blundering! Who's there? Wait, no, you don't. Hold still while I... Shiver me timbers! It's young Jim Hawkins. Mates, wake up! Look, young Jim's come to pay us a visit.
What? Mr. Silver, I...
Captain Silver, me lad, don't bother to explain. I know all about it. You refused to put in with those lily-livered gentlemen of fortune, and you've come to take your chances with Long John and his men.
No, sir, I didn't.
What's that?
I didn't come to put in with you. It was a mistake.
Look, lad... The men are out of sorts and may be hard to manage. Take your time now. No one's pressing you. But it'll be safer if you say you came to join with us.
He ain't aiming to join. He's a spy. String him up, that's what I say.
Out of John! I kept me here. We'll do with him as I say. Now, see here, Jim Hawkins. You're within half a plank of death. Or what's a long sight worse, torture. Oh, I can't hold me men off much longer.
You won't have need to. You've bungled the whole job, Mr. Silver, and part of it's on my account. I heard you plotting the mutiny. I was hiding in the apple barrel.
Quiet!
And that's not all. You're marooned on this island. I've cut the anchor and the ship's gone.
Avast, you speak the truth, lad.
Look out there and see for yourself.
Well, what do you know about a thing like another?
He's got the anchor, he is. I'll cut his head off for this.
Hold your sword. Hold, I say.
He stabbed me.
Disobey me, will you? Draw your cutlass, will you? Stab the boy, will you? Then you'll answer to me, you lily-livered lover. Mortal wound, if ever I saw one. Now, any more of you care to challenge me authority? The cutlass is waiting. Well, you hurt bad, lad.
No, I'll be all right.
It's a doctor you'll be needing. I've got to hold you as a hostage, but I'll take you to Dr. Livesey in the stockade. If he'll give me your word, you won't try to escape.
I won't try to escape, Long John.
Right. Listen, you lovers. I'm taking this boy to the doctor. Perhaps I can talk the doctor into coming back with me and treating some of your own wounds. There's some of you could stand it. From us now, I'll expect to find you all safe and peaceable when I get back.
And so Long John Silver, the most bloodthirsty pirate ever to sail under the Jolly Roger since Captain Kidd, actually saved Jim Hawkins' life. In the dead of night, they sneaked up to the stockade, and the good doctor, hearing Jim's call, came out and bandaged his wound. Jim might have raised the whole stockade, but true to his word to Long John, he did not try to escape. Along toward morning, Jim and Silver returned to the pirate camp.
It was then that Master Jim Hawkins played his trump card.
Captain Silver, sir.
Aye, lad. You be feeling better now?
Oh, I feel chipper. I've got something for you.
For me?
Here it is.
What would it be now that you have for me? Shiver me timbers! It's the map! It's Billy Bones' map of the treasure! The vast mates! Look what we've come by! Thanks to Master Jim. Where did you get it, lad?
From the doctor, sir.
The doctor? Oh, without his knowledge, no doubt. What did I tell you, mates? Jim's on our side. He stole the map from the doctor. Oh, you're a good lad, Jim. Stick with me and I'll make a pirate of you, second only to Long John Silver. On your feet, men. The treasure's as good as ours. Hey, hey, hey. Don't lie. East, so east by east, and right up there is our line for the Pole Star and the Jolly Dollar. Yeah! Yeah! Run for it, mates. It's all yours over the hill. £700,000 just awaiting for us. Run for it, only a few yards further. Shiver me timbers. Jim Hawkins, what's the meaning of this?
Why, it's gone, isn't it? The treasure's already been taken.
Gone, rifled, £700,000 and area doubloon left. Havas, what's that?
It's Captain Smollett and the squire, all the officers. We're surrounded, Long John. Surrender. Surrender or be blown to bits.
Trick. Surrounded, am I? Come on, men. They won't take us without a fight. Get out of the way, boy. You'll be hurt.
Not I. I fight with the officers. Here they come.
Get them, men. So it's end-to-end combat they'll be wanting. Draw your cutlass, George. Dick, Red Roof. Avast, on your feet, men. It's going to take more than powder and steel to beat us. Don't do it, men. We'll die.
Enough!
I say, hold your fire, Captain. I know when I'm beaten. I know when I've had enough. Jim Hawkins, this is all you're doing. It's a rum day when I let myself be outwitted by a boy.
All right, men. Unarming. Now, march them back to the ship. When you get them there, clap every last one of them in irons.
He sent for me, Captain.
Aye, Silver. If I were to keep strict to my duty, I'd clap you in irons like the rest. But seeing as how you saved Master Jim's life and brought your men around to give an assistance for the voyage home, well, to make matters short, Jim's pleaded for you. And I've decided to drop the charges.
Oh, thank you kindly, sir.
Get below now. Let's have no more trouble out of you or the crew. We set a straight course for home. And I mean to keep it that way.
Aye, aye, sir.
Mr. Silver, sir.
Aye, Jim. Come along with me to the folks. There's a question I want to ask.
If it's about the treasure...
Aye, the treasure. Who moved it?
It was Ben Gunn.
Ben Gunn? Shiver me timbers, he ought to be dead. Why, we marooned him on the island 3 years ago.
But he kept alive. He found the treasure and moved it piece by piece to a little cave. You see, when you took me to the doctor that night, you made me promise not to escape.
Aye?
But I didn't promise not to trick you. We knew if we gave you the map, you'd break camp and set out for the treasure. Once in the clearing, you'd be easily surrounded and taken.
Ah, it was a clever scheme, lad. Oh, too bad you're such a gentleman. You'd have made a first-rate pirate. Here's the folks. Would you care to have a cup of tea with Long John?
Thank you, sir.
It was kind of you to plead for me, boy.
Well, sir, after all, you did save my life.
Aye. It's soft I am in me old age. Not like the good old days with Captain Kidd.
Fisherman, fisherman, fisherman.
Shut your blithering mouth. Now take that bird. Over 200 years old he is. He sailed the seven seas with Captain Kidd. Madagascar, Malabar, Suriname, Providence, and Portobello. Was there he learned to say pieces of eight?
Aye, sir. You told me once before, a long time ago.
I did? Oh, well, there was treasure to be had in them days. Jim.
Aye, sir.
Just between you and me, do you think we'll ever go treasure hunting again?
Well, that's the end of the story. Jim Hawkins and the Squire, and even Captain Smollett, lived to a ripe old age and enjoyed the fruits of the adventure. As for Long John Silver, well, no one really knows what happened to him. But there's a superstition among sailors that his voice can still be heard shouting,
"Shiver me timbers!
And singing his favorite song. I hope you enjoyed the story. We enjoyed bringing it to you. Marvin Miller played Long John Silver. Jerry Farber, Harry Lang, Ken Christie, and Paul McVeigh played the other parts. Ralph Rose adapted the story and directed the players. We'll be back again next Sunday at the same time with another story. The story of gallantry and bravery that happened in France a long time ago. It was written by Alexandre Dumas, and he called it The Three Musketeers. I hope you'll be listening. Until then, this is Alan Reed wishing you a pleasant Sunday and a week full of happiness and adventure. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.